Hey everybody, welcome to Gather. This is our last night of the Gather Summer Series, and we're so excited to be with you. I'm Lindsay, and this is Bobby Rodriguez.
Hey.
We are here for some great news, or the best news,
really.
Yeah. Yes. So we got this idea from early COVID days of some good news, and we thought, hey, we have the best news from the Lord and from His Word. And so Bobby's here tonight to share with us what God's been teaching him recently, what his best news is.
All right. Okay. So I want to start with my some good news was that God calls us to live in community. It's so our triune God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one God living in community together. One, three persons, one God. And so his call to us to live in community, we can see in numerous places. I just picked a couple. Psalm 133:1 says, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony." And Hebrews 3:13 says, "You must warn each other of every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." And so that's the some good news is that we are called to live in community by God. And I think it's great news. Community is awesome. It's a great experience. But the best news, the really best news, I think, is that community is a real blessing from God. That it's something we're called to, but it is something that when you engage in it in a way that is honoring to the Lord, it really does fill you up. Hmm. I absolutely have, well, I've had great community, and then I've had really trying community, and I am now blessed by really great community again, and I can honestly say that there is nothing like it. It is really inspirational for the Christian life. And so before I go into all of the things that I think are a blessing about living in community, I wanted to go over, like, what do we mean by community here at Gather? So Gather is a ministry at Watermark Community Church. As you know, you work there. And so we have six core values when it comes to community. And they are devote daily, pursue relationally, counsel biblically. I'm going to turn this over. Live authentically, admonish faithfully, and engage missionally. So I want to go over each of those really quick, just like a quick definition of what each they are. I've got some verses for later, but right now, devote daily. In the context of community, each person is taking care to develop a personal and fruitful relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's really, that should be for all of us, is right. Our desire is to know more of God, to study His Word, to become connected to Him, to live then more like Jesus because of what it's teaching us. So the beginning of doing community really well, a huge pillar is that you have to be doing your relationship with God really well. And then pursue relationally. So this is each member of your community would pursue deep relationships with one another based on love and acceptance. And sometimes that's a hard one because I've been in community with great guys and I've been with great guys that sometimes rub me really wrong. And so it's hard to want to pursue them relationally, right? But man, they have brought so much refining and so much blessing to my life that pursue relationally thing is a big deal. And let's be honest, like we all want friends too, right? How great would it be if the people that you're living life with are also your friends and you're pursuing them out of what it says right here based on love and acceptance? Mm-hmm. I love that mm-hmm. definition. And then counsel biblically, this is a big one. It is exactly what it sounds like. Offer and receive biblical counsel in all areas of life. Off camera, we were just having a conversation about another church, and not that our church doesn't, but it was really interesting to say that, hey, you couldn't even speak up at a Bible study unless you had an answer that was not based on feelings, but rather based on Scripture, biblical truth. And go ahead, Nisa.
There'd be a lot of silence, probably.
Yeah, in that study. Definitely. And I know many times in community, sort of early on in my Christian walk especially, that I wanted to pursue relationally and do all the things, but when it came to helping others solve problems, it was a ton of like me, like, hey, I think you should not be whatever the thing is. And a foundation of biblical community looks like you just wouldn't work on feelings. Mm. You'd be working on Scripture. Like, what does it say? Because a lot of times God's Word says some things that might rub me a little bit wrong, but when I kind of submit myself to those things rather than the whims of my heart, man, my life just goes better. And I think that's the same for community. Mm-hmm. Live authentically. This is also another big one. Be honest with each other and share struggles. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this today as well, but just that confessing to one another and being willing to share your entire life and not have a part of your life that is sort of, this is this little thing that I kind of protect here. I'm going to tell you about everything else, all of my guy and girl troubles and all of my financial things, but I'm going to hold on to whatever it might be, and that's just not going to work really well if you're going to have authentic community. Mm-hmm. You've got to be fully devoted to getting all of those things on the table so that they can then in turn admonish you faithfully, which is our fifth one. Mm-hmm. It's helping each other grow in maturity by encouragement and faithful correction where needed. And the interesting thing is that when I look at number five and I see admonish faithfully, mm-hmm. I immediately go to the second half, and that's faithfully correct where needed, right? It's like, I'm going to always be faithful to make sure that every little thing in your life that is not right, we're going to talk about that, right? But we forget the beginning part of that, to help others by encouraging them and being excited about what their gifting is and how God has made them and how they are able to take those things that God has given them and use them to bless the people around them, hopefully the community, the people that they're with. And so remembering that admonish faithfully doesn't just mean that you're browbeating people with the Word of God because you've done a really good job of counseling biblically, right? It means that you're loving and caring for folks in a way that you were trying to help them be more like Jesus. And the last but not least is engagement missionally. So connecting intentionally with each other and others to serve the world and make disciples. Mm-hmm. So that's just getting a chance to hang out with the people that you love, that are hopefully these best friends of yours that you're living authentically with and admonishing faithfully, and getting out and caring for others. Maybe it's even someone in the group who at that moment has needs. I can think of one that, like moving. Like, oh, yes, I will definitely engage missionally and help you move, right? But those are the things where we have people that are living our lives that we know that, gosh, I hate moving, and these people are going to come and help me do that. I don't want you to hear that engaging missionally means you have to help people move. It definitely means you have to give them money if they are moving so they could hire movers, okay? That's not biblical. I was definitely not counseling biblically there. Right. But I think we can understand what it just means. Like, we got to be others-focused. We got to turn outward and not just, hey, I'm going to come to the community group. I'm going to throw up all the problems that I've got. I'm going to expect you to fix them biblically and to tell me No, it means that not only are we turning outward to the other people in our group, but even our whole group turning outward to love and care for other people. Okay. So I think that all of these six core values are monumentally important, but I want to pick out two and talk about them specifically. So living authentically and admonishing faithfully. So I want you to remember those. Okay, we're going to come back to living authentically and admonishing faithfully, but I want to first, my illustration here I think is a good one. I really do. I think it's great. Is this. We live in a culture right now that will cancel you in a second, right? We've heard the term cancel culture. I even love, like, when you see the circle with the line through it and it says cancel culture. So you want to cancel culture?
I do.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so a little bit of technical difficulty. We're going back to cancel culture, which you said you love, right?
I don't.
You don't love, well, you don't love cancel culture, or you don't want to cancel
culture? I do want to cancel.
Me too.
Cancel
okay,
culture.
Great. So we live in this society. If you don't know what cancel culture is, let's just say from 2014, you posted something on Facebook, MySpace in 2014.
That I love tea.
Yeah, you love tea. And tea has become outlawed. It is no longer okay. It's like a super spreader for COVID, and so everybody hates it. And our society just says, Lindsay, we're done with you. We're taking all of your things from MySpace down, and you are now no longer even recognized, right? That is, I think, the temperature of our society. Do something wrong, commit a sin in some way against society, and you're gone, right? That is not what biblical community is. Like, when we look at biblical community and we look at it from this idea of those two foundational pillars of core value, live authentically and admonish faithfully. So living authentically is the dangerous thing. We would come to a group of people and tell them, I'm struggling with this thing, and it might be something really big. And in fact, most of the time, because in God's eyes, all sin is really big, we're going to be bringing things to the table that people would, let's just say that they didn't have a relationship with Christ, they weren't devoting daily, they might sort of just even internally judge us. In worst case scenario, externally just shun us, mm-hmm. right? Community doesn't do that. It offers you this place where you can say, hey, I'm a sinner. I know you're a sinner. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, but it also instructs us to confess our sins one to another, right?
Right.
And so we get a chance to come in and say, ah, I don't want this anymore. Guys, I have been bearing this burden of sin. Here it is, and I don't want it anymore. And so we then go into admonish faithfully. Well, you get a chance to talk with your sister in Christ who's just laid her heart on the table. And rather than internally judging her, which hopefully we're not, mm-hmm. externally we are certainly going to come alongside her. What does the Bible say about this problem that you've let us in on? And how can I love and support you? How can I then go away from this meeting and be thinking about you, the compassion that is generated by the Spirit within me? How can I act on that and pray for you continually? Be thinking about the things that might have triggered this sin pattern for you and help you to avoid those things. That is what biblical community looks like. And that is why it's a blessing. So it's not just a command, hey, go and do this. And it's a command because God knows that you need this place to be able to go and share and be authentic so that you might find healing from those things. And then on top of just not only finding healing personally, but we get to kind of be a part of the of God's work in each other's lives as we look to love and care, that admonish faithfully, mm-hmm. encourage and correct, right? Mm-hmm. So in all, that's what I would say are, for me, the best news. So good news, God calls us to live in community. Best news is that it is an utter blessing when you commit yourself to biblical community.
Yeah, man, that's great, Bobby. It truly has been a gift in my life.
Me too.
So tell us a little bit of how is this looking recently for you specifically in your community?
For sure. I'll tell you, I'm going to go a little bit longer than just recently. But I started my Christian walk late in life, 33 years old. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I grew up kind of Catholic. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled into Watermark Church and there was just something there. Like I thought, wow, I like what they're teaching about. And then I met some friends, Brandon A. Vance, Isaac Martinez, and started walking with those guys. And they were young adult dudes too, or maybe oldish adults, whatever. And so we were walking together. And because I knew nothing about the Bible, and they had grown up in Christian homes, they were pouring into me. They were helping me not just use my utmost for his highest as my like guide, right? They were going, hey, this is what the scriptures say. You should walk this way. And then I would see like, buddy, you're not doing some of this. And so there was that mutual connecting and sharpening. And it was the time of my life. 4 or 5 years of running with the same guys, knowing that I could share anything and they weren't going to shun me and they were going to help me be better and I was going to do the same for them. It was awesome. And then I got married. And so we found community early on, but it just wasn't the same. I didn't have that same freedom. My wife would always say, hey, Bobby, your guys like to bring the hammer. So we would just beat each other up really essentially, but we would learn and grow from that. And that doesn't work in the context of male and female relationships with many people all in one room. And so we struggled for a long time, probably because I was problematic and bringing the hammer all the time, but also because we were members that were on staff at where I work here at the church. And so somehow like we were always the default leaders of the group. And so our opportunity to come and confess our sins and be encouraged was kind of muted because we were always triaging everyone else's problems. And it was really hard for a long season. And then we found another community. We started going to a specific school and there were many people from Watermark that were going there. And we kind of fell into new community. And it has been, again, a total blessing, much like it was in the beginning of my walk with Jesus and those guys, Brandon and Isaac. What I've seen is that these 6 core values are absolutely playing out in our lives. Right till just this past meeting, the 5 men, husbands, got together for our weekly meeting. We meet once a month as an entire community group. The women meet every week and the guys meet every week. And we sat down to talk, and it was one of those weeks where 3 of the 5 guys confessed some really hard stuff, from stuff that was like, hey, we know this is a kind of an ongoing struggle and we're helping you out with that, to some new revelation of the depth of some problems in one of the marriages in our community group. And the thing that was great was right off the bat, no one was going, what? How dare you? This can't be. Mm-hmm. These three gentlemen got to come and say, here it is, guys. Help me with this. And then we activated. We got to start to admonish faithfully, which meant we were encouraging each other. I think we had more texts this past week because of that, based on, hey, how are you doing? And how can we help you? Have you followed through with some of the things that we suggested as we were reading God's word? It has been awesome, and that is an utter blessing. So you go from great, great community to knowing, hey, not all community is always running on all six core values, and so right. sometimes it just feels like it sputters a little bit, and then bam, we hit it again, and it's going really well. It doesn't mean that everyone's life is perfect. Obviously, they're not, but we are getting a chance to mutually encourage, point each other towards Christ, and then hold each other accountable to walking a life that honors Him.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of community done biblically, yes. is that we get to be Christ to each other when we come and we're confessing sin. Yes. Like the way we respond to each other, we get to reflect how Christ responds to us, how God looks at us when we come to Him mm-hmm. in our sin. And we just get to meet Him with compassion and grace and yes. mercy and love.
And we're not always going to be perfect. We're not going to be God when you bring it to us. But boy, we can sure do our best to emulate what we've been doing as we've devoted daily to know Him better. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true.
And that's where the healing comes.
Yes.
So, okay, so I'm thinking about the people that are here tonight mm-hmm. listening to this, and they more relate to your middle experience, mm-hmm. and they're like, I'm in community, whether it's officially here at Watermark and what we do here or how your home church does it might be different, but mm-hmm. I'm in community, and it doesn't look anything like your community group right now. So
for sure.
what do you do if you're in that situation?
Two things. Number one is the buck stops with you, right? Like each individual person who's a part of the community that may not be functioning, like we were saying, it's limping or it's not hitting on all cylinders, so it's sputtering a little bit, is that you need to make sure, hey, are you abiding by those six core values? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't want to lift the core values up as, hey, Watermark's core values, the things that they believe about community. It's not that. There's scripture that goes along with each of these. We can look at these are biblically based. So what I'm actually saying is, hey, are you abiding by what the Bible says about community? The hard parts of that, the things that require extra work of you, the turning outward. And that's the second thing. Is it one, are you doing it? Yes. And then two, are you being others focused? Are you helping the community to see? Not without being passive aggressive, which is a hard part for me. Like it's, are you saying, I want the best for all of you people in this group, and I'm going to do my best to set an example on how I do it, and then help you by encouragement and admonishment on how to live that way. So those are the two I would say. If you're not exactly experiencing right now, and you're already, let's say, at Watermark, and you're in a community group, be the change that you want to see. Oh, I can't believe I said that.
But and then ask for help if they aren't holding up those core values with you and things aren't changing.
Yeah, and the way that you do that is important, right? Yeah. It's loving them and doing it because you love them, not because you want to see them mm-hmm. do it the way you want it done.
Right, that's good. Okay, so I have one last question for you. So, we've got all different people that are here with mm-hmm. us tonight, people that are members at Watermark that aren't in community, or people that are here at Watermark and aren't in community yet, and then folks that have a different church home that may do something similar and they're not yet in a group, or folks that are a different church and they don't have anything that looks like our community groups look. So what would be next steps for those different groups of people?
So we'll take it all together, right? So the first step was I'm in community already at Watermark. And that is what I just said.
Right.
Hey, starts with you, turn out, and try to love those folks that are in the community group with you towards it.
So I'm here at Watermark. I'm not in community yet.
So what I would say is you start by attending our membership class. So you may be coming, but are you a member? And the membership class is going to help you to see not just Watermark's heart for the six core values of community, but everything else that goes along with Christian life as you lead it here as a member of Watermark. So that would be my jumping off place, is go see what it's all about there. And then I would jump into community formation. So there you're going to be able to connect up with other people who are also seeking community. So I know what it's all about. I'm going to come here. I'm going to try to find like-minded people who are kind of in my life stage, is what the purpose of community formation is. And then I'm going to try and begin that way. You could also grow organically. Like if you're a member here at Watermark already, grab some people from Gather who
Even
are.
If you're not a member, absolutely. You want to go through the process.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But grab some folks. Obviously, hopefully, the people around you right now are like-minded. Their desires is to give more of themselves to Jesus, but they're not getting a chance to do that in the context of community yet. Find those people, bring them in, and do whatever it takes to make that happen. And then let's say you're going to another church. You're a member of another church and you're coming to Gather pretty regularly. Great. We love it. Please keep coming. But go and find out, what does your church believe about community? Do they uphold these six biblical core values of community? And if not, find another church that does. But if they do, then seek out their path towards community. It might be organic. It might be very kind of mechanical in how they set it up to do it. But whatever it is, go through that process and be this kind of person for the folks that get kind of dropped in your lap for whatever that process looks like.
Yeah, and then if you're at a church that maybe doesn't have anything formal, like a community group, a life group, it could be called any name.
Right.
Maybe jump into a Bible study there and meet people there that want to experience this with you. Share with them what you've learned about community and then form a group there. It doesn't have to be something formal that your church is doing, but we all need community in our life.
It's great.
Okay, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I had one final thought, and then it was this. So we've talked about there were six core values, right? I grabbed two of them, and we talked kind of deeply on how they personally affected me. All six of those are equally impactful for everyone's life. And so what I would say is that all of those things are important. Mm-hmm. So if you heard us saying that these two were more, it's not. The next piece is that I really do believe that this is the best news. Mm-hmm. God commands us to be in community, do it. And then when you are, it is an absolute blessing from God. So here's what I want you to hear me say. It could be hard work. It might be tough to find community. It might be tough to generate the beginnings of the depth of relationship that requires to have community that's honoring to God and a blessing to you. But it is worth every single effort that you need to make to do that. To be in community that is a blessing, it's worth all of the work. So do it. That's what I would say.
Great. Well, thank you, Bobby, for sharing. We are grateful that you were here with us tonight. It's now time to jump into, well, it may be, depending on when you're watching this video, time to jump into our discussion groups, our table time. And so if you pre-registered, you've got that link, that Jitsi link to jump into your group. You know how to do that. If you haven't registered yet, all the way up until past 7:30, man, we'll get you into a group. So email us at gather@watermark.org and we'll shoot you over a link and you can virtually join in to a group. So thanks for being here and thanks for being at the summer series.